The McElroy brothers are not experts, and their advice should never be followed. Travis insists he's a sexpert, but if there's a degree on his wall, I haven't seen it. Also, this show isn't for kids, which I mention only so the babies out there will know how cool they are for listening. What's up, you cool baby?
It's familiar, but not too familiar, but not too not familiar. It's a new craze. Hey, good girls, do you wanna just say, hey, I wanna? Just say, hey, I wanna.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to My Brother and Me, an advice show for the modern era. I'm your oldest brother, Justin McElroy.
I'm your middlest brother, Travis McElroy.
Well, I guess that makes me your sweet baby brother, 30 under 30 years from now.
Yep. We were supposed to talk about Eurovision this morning, and then I realized I didn't have anything funny to say about it, except Sweden was robbed by Portugal. It was an actual robbery perpetrated on the world stage.
Heartbreaking. The Swedish song about premature ejaculation is amazing and now, should have won.
It was called I Can't Go On. I don't think they were talking about that nut.
He's talking about that it makes him want to take off all his clothes and that the person he's singing to is so beautiful that he can't go on and he's got to keep it together.
I'm saying Eurovision has a vetting process to make sure that nut songs don't get through.
Griffin, I'm sorry. This is not a joke I am making. The Sweden song is about premature ejaculation and
You guys are talking about that, and it reminded me of a much more important fact, is that I watched 50 Shades of Grey last night.
Talking about that nut, though.
Sydney and I had a good post-Eurovision drunk going. And we decided to keep up the fun.
To catch the zeitgeist.
50 Shades of Grey, the Ridge. Because 50 Shades Darker just came out on iTunes. But we didn't watch that one. We watched 50 Shades 1. Hey, everybody. That shit is buck wild.
Yeah.
How did we let that happen? Is that where things kind of got away from us? I worry. Do you guys? Here's the most prevalent, the most important fact about 50 Shades. And when I brought it up to Sydney because it is ludicrous, she said, "Oh, well, I won't. That's from the book." So here's what it is. He has a room called the Playroom, right? Christian Grey.
Oh, that sounds fun.
And that's where he keeps Cherry and Flory and Clocky.
And Harnessy and Butt Pluggy. No, but she says, is that where you keep your Xbox?
Hey, replay me a cartoon.
All right, Butt Pluggy.
You're the boss. Is that where you keep your Xbox? And he says, no. But I thought it would be rad if he was like, well, yes, but also sex.
Well, yeah, but I don't have a lot of space.
I don't have many of the newest games also, but
I have Madden 11.
When he goes in there and he says to her, you're going to be my sex person. You're my submissive and you're my sex person. She has to like get on the ground on all fours with like a blindfold or something.
Flory's like, what's up?
And she's all naked. And that's like, and you just wait for me. And then when he comes in,
he's got a sandwich. Man, and he's like, oh, I'm sorry, I forgot you were there.
It is wearing sex jeans. And what I'm saying to you is that he has discreet jeans for sex that are ripped. So he's not wearing the sex jeans at the beginning of the scene. He leaves the room and comes back in wearing sex jeans that he does not remove.
Oh.
He just wears the sex jeans the entire time he is in the playroom with Butt Pluggy and the Xbox and everything.
I just saw a Skype notification that you've sent me a link, and I think this might be one that I don't want
to. No, I'm going
to have to click on it.
Yeah, it's just, if you get a visual of him, it's just like, it looks like Incredible Hulk post-transformation with like torn sex jeans gentleman wears all the time.
A quick diversion to Express, and now I'm going to fall into the gap, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah. If there's a if you he never takes the sex jeans off. He just wears the sex jeans.
Is he a never nude?
Apparently he's a never nude is what is
God, that would be
about.
Such a fucking twist. If in Shades of Grey he's like, but I just want you to know I want to do all kinds of sex stuff with you. I'm not comfortable being naked though, and I will have to turn the lights off.
I just want to rub my wormy up against this carpenter cut denim. Is my
these,
whole thing.
These sweet JNCOs.
Sign this contract. I'm gonna wear, and then the line A1A, sort of the preamble is basically about how these jeans never coming off. These jeans are mine, and I need them.
And the sex contract is written out on my jeans.
It's
these
on my
jeans. Prescription
jeans,
and I need these for everything. It's pretty good. It's pretty great. All of the movie is excellent.
Can I ask you a question?
Anything. Ask me anything. AMA. I watched all of 50 Shades Grey drunk. AMA.
Did it. How horny did you get?
Yeah.
Did I mention the jeans?
No, you did mention the jeans, mm-hmm. but you don't have to be childish about it. It's an adult movie for adults, and obviously, we're all over 30 now, and so we can talk about stuff like you're chubby.
We here at My Brother, and Me, we are sex positive. Mm-hmm. We have many listeners who are in, you know, the S&M dom, you know, sub scene. That's totally cool, Justin. So, however many boners you got,
how chubs did it
there's
get?
There's no kink shaming. There's gene shaming happening mm-hmm. here.
Okay.
What I'm saying is, I'm sex positive, and Christian Grey is nudity
guys,
negative.
Guys,
he is
guys,
genes
guys,
positive,
guys,
and they cancel
guys,
each other
guys,
out.
Guys, kinko jeans.
Okay.
All right.
Very good.
K and KO. You got to get them. You can keep a fucking Game Boy Advance SP in there and also six plugs for a butt in there to have fun with. Not your butt, though. Your jeans staying on. The jeans are staying on. But you can keep a full bag of jerky in those jeans.
Justin, were there openings? You said the jeans were ripped. Were there openings in the jeans that allowed him to engage? Or was this like, oh, I was going to buy like a extreme restraints cage for my penis, but I forgot to order it in time and it won't be here till Thursday. So I'm going to do the next best thing and put him in a denim prison.
No. He scooches them down below his penis like he's peeing in the trough in a minor league baseball game. Like he just scooches them down to do it, to
all
do
right.
the thing, to well, do the darn thing.
A lot of avoiding the subject of the sort of chubby inquisition that
there's
Travis
no arousal.
All
it's
right.
negative. Everyone in the movie is very attractive, right? The jeans kill every bit of eroticism because
yeah.
like all I can feel for
Wait.
Poor Dakota Johnson is you know she has to be with a man in jeans always.
Yeah Justin,
always.
Hold on. Justin, now you've made me
yes.
wonder. I assume there's more than one sex scene in 50 Shades of Grey. Do the jeans reappear every time? Is he like, wait, if we're gonna do it, I'll be right back.
It's not a single scene, Travis. What I'm saying to you is there's a couple scenes in this playroom area where they're like the supposedly taboo things happen, and he's always in the jeans, and every time he's in the jeans.
Were you watching this on Stars at 7 p.m. and maybe these jeans were CGI'd in so that like they could show it on Stars? Or
did he stub his toe and yell, "Oh, he's a lover"? Because
maybe there's
a
bit where he comes around a corner weird and he kind of jukes real fast and the jeans take like a half second to catch up with his pubis. Was there much jeans lag on the Stars channel you were watching this on?
They were
I
not
guess?
Animated cartoon jeans. She reveals to him before he gets into his dark proclivities. She reveals to him that she's a virgin, and his reaction to that is to scoop her up. And she says, "What are you doing?" And he says, "I quote, I'm rectifying the situation."
Yayo.
So when you talk about how many chubbies, that's why it's negative.
Ding dong, shoot, man, fuck,
it's rough. Also, in pro- like she's supposed to be you know, completely ignorant of this world, right?
Yeah.
He buys her a computer, and he says, I hope you use this to do some research.
Okay.
And she texts him and says, what should I search? And he says, try submissive. And it's like, what? Okay, I know she's ignorant of S&M, but is she ignorant of, like, Google? Like, is he going to give her, like, a Boolean walkthrough right now of, like, how to get information about S&M? It seems unlikely.
Justin...
I need to finish this. I need to finish this one point before we move on.
Uh-huh.
They take her ignorance of the S&M lifestyle to its absolute extreme, because when they're going through the sex contract and she's eliminating genital clamps from the contract as something that, like, is good for her, she asks him, and this is a direct quote, "What's a butt plug?" And I wanted to sit down with her at that point and just walk into the movie Purple Rose of Cairo style and be like, Hey, Dakota, what do you think a butt plug could be?
Also, this is 2015? You have not contextually picked up in the world the concept of butt. Like,
I don't care.
I'm not
Travis, you can go into fucking caveman times. And if it's called a butt plug, it's probably we are going to figure it out.
It's a special type of cup that you use for tea. It's a silly little guy, and it gets in there and it holds it all up or in or what. I'm not sure what the function is, but I bet it feels fucking great. Damn, now I'm all rock hard talking about all this junk. I'm kind of in disbelief of how long we've been talking about 50 Shades of Grey in May 14th, 2017 AD, the year of our Lord Christ Jesus.
I feel very bad for people who, for whom SM is a fetish for them, because if this is the world's touchstone for your thing,
it's not
that's
good.
It is a negative, I think, in terms of awareness.
It's probably how I feel every time I go to a Superman movie, and I'm like, this time they'll get it right, and I always walk out like, no, I'm not into Superman. I don't know why I was here. I'm embarrassed.
It's as if somebody went and saw Space Jam, and then went to a basketball game, and then was disappointed that nobody was stretching their arms across half of the court to dunk it. While a bunch of big, colorful monsters, you know, hurt the Bugs Bunny.
Okay, here's a quick, I have not read this, but here's a headline from Cosmopolitan. In case you wanted to know what Christian Grey really calls his sex genes.
What's he called? Don't fucking tell me now.
Are you guys ready?
Yes.
This is from the book. In my closet, I strip off all my clothes. And from a drawer, pull out my favorite jeans, my DJ's Dom jeans.
Happy Mother's Day, everybody. Go out, get to fucking J. Crew, get to Express, and go pick up a new pair of Dom jeans. You're going to love these things.
Is it possible? Is it just possible that we're having this conversation and we're going to get like 5,000 emails that are like, yeah, Dom jeans. Yeah.
I don't care. I will take that. Because you know what? Just because it's part of S&M culture, if it is, I can't be. If it is, the cultures can grow and evolve by definition. I, an outsider, will help you pass this S&M culture. You cannot have dumb jeans. One, it sounds like mom jeans.
It sounds exactly like mom jeans.
Exactly like mom jeans. Dumb jeans. I slip them on and fasten all the buttons except the top one. From the same drawer, I retrieve the new riding crop and a gray waffle robe. As I leave, I grab a few condoms and stuff them into my pocket. Here goes. Showtime, Gray.
Cowboy hat? You know what? Cowboy hat? Yes or no? Can't decide in the end. Decide next time.
Is it possible that he needs the jeans to put condoms in?
He doesn't
want to walk in the room with a handful of condoms, because apparently he needs a few.
He needs several, yeah. He's extremely safe.
What's in here? Oh, my condoms. And some Bazooka Joe and some chapstick.
And 83 cents.
Yeah.
I'm just found the page you were on, Justin, this book. I got the ebook on my Kindle now, and I'm looking through it, and let me just catch up to call my Dom jeans, put condoms in the pockets. I don't call them my Dom jeans because I'm a dominant in the sexual congress. I actually call them that because I got them from my friend, late great actor and television producer Dom DeLuise. That's funny that Dom DeLuise would get him sex, like pants for sex in it. We've now spent a quarter of this episode talking about 50 Shades of Grey, and if we do any more, I think I might just like call this one like episode like 152 or something. Drop it in sort of in media res.
Mm-hmm.
And so it'll be like more sort of chronologically appropriate. Have you guys seen this dress? Is it blue and black or white and gold? I'm so super confused.
Okay, so anyway, we'll do a question now. Because apparently I'm not allowed to talk about 50 Shades of Grey anymore.
Is there never a moment when he comes out in the jeans? There has to be at least one. He's probably had multiple partners. At least one partner probably to be like, oh, yeah. Christian? What's with the jeans? What's the deal with the jeans?
What he does is he takes a woman and they sign the contract and then they live in his house, in a special room for this. And she asks him like, how many women have you had like this? And he says 15, which seems high, but maybe they're not getting scared off by like the whips and stuff. Maybe it's just like, I can't with the jeans. I have to go.
Is there a line in the contract that says like, I will not ask about the jeans?
Promise not to mention the jeans out loud. The fact that it passes without comment, by the way, is the most ludicrous thing in the entire film. She comments about everything. She doesn't know what butt plugs are. He walks in with jeans, and she's just like,
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Seems right.
Showtime.
J-Man, one more question.
Oh, my God.
No, this has always eaten me up, and now Justin could possibly answer this for me. Is the idea of 50 Shades of Anything referenced in the book? What is the title based on?
Travis, at one point, he says, you can't love me. And she says, why? And he says, he stares into a window very dramatically and says, because I'm 50 Shades of Fucked Up. And that is where the title of the book comes from.
But the name of the book isn't 50 Shades of Fucked Up, which would be a way better title.
That would be because you could feel when apparently the book is, I have not read the book. Apparently the writing leaves something to be desired. But you can feel with your entire being when they have lifted a line directly from the book because it sounds like that. It is written.
Like the line, I think it's the masquerade scene when they sort of go away from the party and find a little bedroom. And he says, I'm going to rump me a good one. And she laughs.
Yeah.
That's page 169, which is funny, which is also kind of funny.
The weirdest part about the movie is he only calls it porking.
Yeah.
So every time it's like, why are you so dark and disturbed? Because I like to spank while I pork. And it's like weird. That's a weird way of putting it. So here's an actual question. I'm sorry about all the 50 Shades talk. But if you want me to watch 50 Shades 2 and talk about it
nope.
at some point.
We're going to have to do some kind of like GoFundMe to make that happen. Maybe donate some money to charity in order to make Justin watch 50 Shades. Or maybe to make him not watch 50 Shades 2 so we never have to talk about it again.
I thought it was weird how in the movie, every time he achieves climax, he yells, Toasty, like the guy from Mortal Kombat. There's a lot of, it pulls from, it's kind of like Scott Pilgrim. Like, it just pulls from all these different, like, there's so many, references to old video games.
It was originally Michael Cera, which is why they wrote the jeans in, because that was a request. Okay. I've been trying to clear out the back of my closet, and I ran into an issue trying to deal with, well, I have these five very large posters of Orlando Bloom.
One Pirates of the Caribbean, two Lord of the Rings, and two Elizabeth Towns. Two fucking 24 by 68, like, ripped these off the side of a fucking theater, Elizabeth Town promos.
I've had a crush on Orlando Bloom since I was a teenager. Many years ago, I had a dedicated wall of Orlando posters, and when I moved into my own apartment, they all came with me, but only two went up on the wall. Tasteful restraint. I know I can't make space for the rest, but I feel terrible about throwing them out. Mm. Should I ask my friends if they want them? They don't. Or sell them? Good luck. And that's from Closet Cleaning Canadian. Man, that's a humdinger. Thank you so much for bringing this to our attention. You've chosen wisely, turning to us.
You can't throw them out because
his spirit is in them.
His spirit, a little bit of it. Like, he'll know. I feel like, you know, every time, and it doesn't happen often, but anytime folks throw away the I'm a Bim Bam poster, especially if we've signed it, we've put a piece of our essence in them. And so when you throw them away, it's like I trip and fall over. And I'm like, oh, man, it happened, didn't it?
I'd love to be there when Con Marie digs into this apartment. Like, I want you to touch each of these objects and tell me if they spark joy.
Yeah.
And if not, we're throwing away. Let me check. Yep.
Yes.
Yep.
Still a lot of joy.
Yep. 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 They all spark joy. What else you got? Okay. If you have one, you're an Orlando Bloom fan. Fun. Mm-hmm. If you have three, it's a shrine.
Mm.
Like, it becomes a shrine to Orlando Bloom, and that has some powerful symbology. I'm not sure you want to necessarily hit your wagon.
Well, you leave him offerings of some of Bloom's favorite stuff, bows and arrows. Yeah, I'm sure he got really into that. Pictures of his friends from Lord of the Rings, like the actors. I think they're all still really good buds. He likes those.
What you do is when you have friends come over, you say, if we're going to be friends, you need to know something about me. Welcome to my play Bloom. And then you open the door, and it's just coated in your posters. This is something you need to know about me. 50 posters of Orlando Bloom.
Your friends are confused, and you're like, what do your elven eyes see? Come on, say it. You know the truth. These are my genes.
Do you know what people are really into these days, fellas?
Huh?
What? Very specific museums.
Okay.
Somebody will like rent a storefront and like, this is my I Love Lucy museum now, or this is like my Bazooka Joe gum museum, or this is my Space Jam museum. Maybe you want to open up an Orlando Bloom museum because if you can start making money off of it, that's a thing. Like, you can turn around to everybody who ever gave you shit about having five like full size Orlando Bloom posters and like the big head posters, or it's full size Orlando Bloom on your wall. Cause now you're making money off Orlando Bloom, just like everyone else in Orlando Bloom's life.
Okay.
They're all taking advantage. I'm glad we've gotten to this. We're all taking advantage of Orlando Bloom all the time.
If this person is willing, please get in contact with us, because I will literally set you up and pay for a post office box where everybody with spare Orlando Bloom stuff can mail it to you. Mm-hmm. And we can really trick this shit out. Like, really get it going and make a room in your house that is you probably get a different tax classification for this one room that is the Orlando Bloom Museum or the Bloomseum.
Or church.
Church,
it's a church, baby.
We've all reached a dark and tough time in our lives where we did a little prayer to Orlando Bloom just to see if he could do anything to help out. Troy is in Troy.
Yeah, got it.
Got a fourth one. Hey, do you guys want a Yahoo?
Yep.
Now I'm just psyched thinking about Troy. Eric Bana? Fuck yeah, dude. Here's a Yahoo.
Brad Pitt?
Was he?
Yeah, he played the Achilles.
He's one of the Troy boys. I have a good
one.
That's
what they called him.
I have a good one here, but it's not loading. I'm wondering if my cookies are fucked up. There we go. This one was sent in by Zoe Kinski, Riding High. Yes, thank you, Zoe Kinski. It's from Yahoo Answers user Anonymous. It's actually from Jorlando Doom. Jorlando Doom sent this one, asked this. Jorlando Doom asks, oh, the page crashed. What does that even mean? How does a page crash? It's the internet. I didn't download it.
Yahoo is closing down around you, Griffin. You have to get out.
You're joking, but that is going to happen one day, and y'all never see me again. Jorlando Doom asks, God, fuck this website. Seriously. Okay. Jorlando Doom asks, why does the New Year's ball drop instead of go up? This question really fucked me up when I saw it. Why does the New Year's ball drop instead of go up? And then there's the only other text here is update. Tradition, yes. Dropping balls, good answer. Update 2, about the gravity response. No shit, Sherlock. So I'm not going to go too deep into the other answers that people gave, but I think somebody just said like, oh, a ball can't go up. Ball go down because of the earth pull. Do you mean gravity?
So the obvious answer here is that they couldn't get it down. Like, if you raised it and that was like the thing, that's cool, except now that ball is just up there now. So you can't bring it down, you know? You can't get it because you raised it.
It's not like a flag where if the ball touches the ground, the year stops or whatever.
Yes, but the symbolism of, like, the year is here, time to raise the ball. At some point, you're going to have the reverse symbolism of, well, bring it back down, I guess.
But that's how we do it. That's how we do it now. It's like, count it down. 3, 2, 1. Let's lower this year into the toilet, which is, like, where it belongs. It's not, I want a triumphant, I want to count up. This year, I want to see the ball go up, and I want it to be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. And the ball's at the top, and everyone's like, fuck yeah, look at that thing up there. Everybody can see it better now because it's higher.
Go with me. I think a third option, we build two mechanical hands, and we make it like a tether ball, and they bat the ball around, and when it's all fully wrapped around the pole, Happy New Year.
But
it is a billion Swarovski crystals. And those
we'll make the hands crystal too, Griffin. I don't know what you want from me. Make an omelet without breaking a few crystals.
I want a shower, Times Square, and razor sharp Swarovski crystals. taken from the year ball.
Do you think?
Listen, thin that crowd a little bit. It couldn't hurt, Griffin. There's too many people there. Not enough bathrooms. They're not allowed to drink. There's no food there. I've often thought that standing in Times Square for New Year's must be the scariest. Absolute pits.
Full blown.
That I think the crystal hand should be controlled by Ryan Seacrest with a virtual reality helmet.
Yes.
That would be very futuristic. That'd be very today. You would never see that on Dick Clark's show. That's how Ryan makes it his own.
Where's that year ball right now, though? What do you think? It's just sitting somewhere, huh?
No, I'm saying, like, I think it's still on top of that building.
Oh, shit. I mean, first of all, a heist opportunity of the century. I'm saying if you have the year ball, you got the power. And so we steal the year ball, and it's up to us how this one goes. Maybe that's what the Good Year blimp is all about. It's a band of blimp-based thieves trying to get the year ball so that they can just improve it.
What if we just take this whole shit, right? We turn it on its ear. And what we do is the ball, it raises up, right, at the beginning of the year. And then we continuously lower it when bad shit happens. And when it hits the bottom, it's time for a new year, no matter what fucking day it is, month it is, whatever. Like, well, we've used up all the goodness of the year, so time to reset. And then that's right there. That's New Year. June 7th, whatever. Fucking New Year. We're done.
Well, it's June 7th is now. June 7th is such a fucking wildly inaccurate. Like, you don't realize, Trav, if we started doing this last year, it would currently be like January 3rd, 3041, and then like tomorrow would be January 1st, 3042. It would just be like, history teachers would be like, so there's this weird span of like 650 years that really took place over the course of like, well, four. And it got pretty buck wild there for a second. But anyway, yeah, that's when everybody was like 750 years old. You remember? It was really fun. It was like a fun way to do it.
We were talking about Ryan Seacrest a little bit.
Yes.
And I wanted to share a quick vignette. First, congratulations to Ryan. He's the new co-host of with Kelly Ripa. So it's
permanently.
Yeah, he's the new guy. And they had to keep mum about it for a long time. And she had this joke where she said, in my house, we call it keeping a Seacrest because they had to not tell anybody about it. And I just wanted to pass that on to everybody in case in your day-to-day life for the rest of it. If you wanted to call secrets Seacrests, I would very much approve of that. And it's something I'm going to try to implement. And I just wanted to share that with everybody that they're called Seacrests now.
It's going to be tough to implement, but I'm going to do my... I mean, you know me.
Doesn't trip off the tongue. If you guys want to try it, it doesn't.
It stumbles off the tongue, but Kelly leads and I follow.
Mm-hmm.
Kelly says jump. I say, how high, Kelly Ripa? And she tells me how high to jump.
Here's another question. My housemate keeps opening the fridge door and fraudulently claiming... balls, we're out of milk. He then pauses and says, just joking. How do I explain to him what jokes are? That's from George from the internet. You know the one. We're out of milk. Get it?
I mean, it's the exclamation balls that gives us a particularly like nutty sort of Wild Boys piquant flavor that I really would like, a early 2000s like Sum 41 sort of barf vibe that I just am like really grooving on right now. Just sort of some just a fucking really, really, really good. I mean, that made me laugh. I'll be honest.
Yeah,
I understand.
It did make me laugh too.
You want to put on a joke clinic, but the summoning, the conjuring of balls from the depths is like, that makes
very
me
good.
Chuckle. I think a little bit.
Yeah, because they weren't out of. Did you, Griffin? Did you hear the part where they weren't out of milk? Did you get that part of the joke?
No, that's classic comedy. I was more tickled by this sort of ska curse word balls.
I guess I'm lost in this whole thing. So there is milk?
No,
there is milk.
No. Oh, there is milk. Oh, there is.
Now I get it.
Balls, dude.
Balls, I got tricked.
For a second, I thought that there was no milk present. And I panicked. I honest to God, like, I felt my blood go cold because I was like, what do I put on my Frosted Flakes later? And I was thinking about having like some like a mac and cheese for dinner, but not now.
Not now.
But then Justin, here's the beauty of this was, not only is it fucking hilarious, but the relief I felt.
Sure.
When I realized, like, there is milk.
I don't think that this person has thought about one of these days they're going to open that old fridge, mm-hmm. and, you know, there really isn't going to be milk. And they can tell whoever they want at that point. No one is going to believe it. They're going to go to the store to buy milk, and the milk butcher is going to say, no, I'm pretty sure you have milk. Nice try, but go home.
The milk got your number, which is funny because you're at a butcher shop.
Right.
The milk butcher being the one who destroys the cows to get the sweet nectar within. There's got to be an easier way. There has to be.
When you go to a really nice resort, sometimes they'll crack the cow right there in front mm-hmm. of you and just put a straw in it.
Love
it. You can just enjoy it there in your chair as you watch the waves roll in. It's amazing.
Balls, dude. Can you imagine if that's how it was? Fuck. Balls, man.
Balls.
That's some... Oh, God. It's just like I'm there on the couch watching Viva La Bam again. Fuck yeah, dude. Balls. I'm loving it. Just saying it, man.
Every once in a while, I check to see if there's going to be another Jackass movie, and it always leads me down some paths of despair that it just gets worse every time I duck my head back in to see how progress is coming on Jackass 4. It gets worse and worse and worse. And at this point, I think I'm going to stop checking to see if Jackass 4 is going to happen, because I always end up very depressed.
Probably better ways for time to be used.
And money and everything.
Hey, here's a quickie sent by Rachel Rosing. Game recognized, Rachel Rosen, thank you. It's Yahoo Answers user Ben who says, has there ever been a circular banana? Like, you know, how some bananas are more curly than others. Has one ever curled right around into a circle?
I mean, probably.
All right. Travis Fruit Science Expert.
I mean, I'm just saying that if you're talking about across the great expanse of time since, like, the evolution of the modern nanner, has there been a nanner that has grown into itself? I mean, probably.
If you had a completely circular banana that went all the way around,
mm.
you could feed everyone mm-hmm. with it forever. Think about that.
Hold up, what?
It's an infinite banana.
No, buddy.
There's no beginning and no end to the banana. So no matter how many bites you took out of it, it's still all there.
Well, Justin, okay. I see what you're saying. If I may, one step further, in order for that to happen, the banana would have to twist back in on itself like a Mobius nanner. Now, if you had a Mobius nanner, you could also have people walk on that banana and walk forever.
And get real confused.
Yeah, and while they're
Justin,
eating it.
You came to my house. Yeah. You came to my house in March, and you brought your lovely family, and we all had a fun time. And it wasn't just your lovely family you brought. You also brought a literal bucket of donuts from Voodoo Donuts, and they were
a big bucket.
It's
not a little bucket.
A 10-gallon bucket. And they had donuts in them, and I watched you eat a food that is a circle. So I know you understand that not all circular foods contain infinite food matter.
Yeah, but bananas traditionally have a beginning and an end, right? Every banana that you've ever seen has a beginning and an
end. You're talking about terminal bananas.
You can either bite the beginning of the banana or the bottom of the banana if you're a goofball. I don't know anybody that eats bananas that way, except maybe monkeys.
No, it's wrong.
But if you have a banana that goes all the way around,
it's just
and
keeps
I said,
going.
Are you gonna? It just keeps going. So you could bite the top of it. There is no top. You could bite the bottom. There is no bottom. So since it is an infinite banana, without beginning or end,
cool.
Then theoretically speaking, quantum, etc., etc., etc.
Quantum. So dude, lobsters, if we didn't harvest bananas, they would just keep growing like that. Like, you know, lobsters are immortal. Everybody knows that.
Yeah.
Do you think bananas are immortal if we don't, you know, chop them down? Man, am I right? Humans, what won't we fuck up? Anyways.
I want perfectly round bananas that I can... Because here's the thing.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to the park to play with my friends in the grass and just sort of connect with nature. And I take an apple with me. I drop the apple, and of course I'm like running in the grass because I'm having a great time, and I kick the apple, and it goes so far away because I just had to hold the apple in my hands. What the fuck else am I going to do with it? It's a big apple. It's a big gala apple. Okay. A banana ring, I could wear that as a tiara. I could wear that as a cool bracelet or a belt if it's fucking big enough. Like Travis said, we eat these bananas before we really give them a fair shot. So I wear this banana circlet, and... it's not going to fall off because I'm wearing it and it looks cool. It looks yellow and cool and banana.
Not only that, Griffin, and you get to the park with your friends and it's like, hey, let's play some ultimate frisbee like we've been talking about all week. Oh, no.
Steve forgot the fucking
frisbee. Nanner time.
Throw it. And I would be kind of passive aggressive. I would throw it so Steve would miss. Yeah. So he'd look like a fucking nerd.
This is the dumbest our show has ever been, and I'm stopping it to go to the Money Zone.
How would you even peel it if it's all over?
You got a great wardrobe. You look good. You got your perfect jeans with the holes for sex.
You got your banana crown.
What about the things not everybody gets to see? That's right. You've been buying those store-bought underwear 5-packs that are they're basically feel like trash on your genitals. So congratulations. It's time to level up your genitals to Me Undies. They're seriously soft, feel-good undies delivered right to your door with all kinds of cool patterns. They're made from sustainably sourced micromodal, which is a fabric 3 times softer than cotton. They come in a ton of different bold shades and adventurous patterns. It could be your little... secret. And guess what? You save time and money each month with a monthly subscription. Right now, MeUndies is offering you 20% off your first pair. Just use the special URL, MeUndies.com/mybrother, and get 20% off your first pair. Revamp your underwear drawer. You deserve it. That's MeUndies.com/mybrother.
And what do you wear over your MeUndies? Your Blue Apron. Blue Apron is a micromodal fabric that protects you from all... food splattering on your genitals.
Spills and splashes and knife bounces.
It is an invincible fabric that will stop 8 bullets.
It is the golden fleece. Except it's blue. It's also an apron. No, it's a food box. It's a food box full of ingredients that they send to you, and then you, I guess, get the ingredient. It says right here you get the ingredients super hot and make them touch, and then they turn into sauces and cooked meals and stuff. And then you taste them, and they're really good. It's less than $10 per person per meal, and they deliver seasonal recipes along with pre-portioned ingredients that you can use to you put them together and make them touch and hot, and then they turn into delicious home-cooked meals. And you can choose from a variety of recipes based on what your diet is, and there's new ones all the time so you don't get bored. Some of them include beef teriyaki stir fry with sugar, snap peas, and lime rice, baked spinach and egg flatbread with sauteed asparagus and lemon aioli, 3-cheese baby broccoli stromboli with tomato and oregano dipping sauce. They're all really good. You can check out this week's menu and get your first 3 meals for free with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/mybrother. It's blueapron.com/mybrother. You eat these meals and you'll be able to think faster, use the computer faster, move stuff with your mind like Lucy.
We got some Jumbotrons. This one is for Tegan, and it's from Sarah, who specifies not that Tegan and Sarah, which how do you know what Tegan and Sarah I was thinking of?
Yeah, I wasn't thinking of the band. I might have been thinking of you. You don't know.
I was thinking of you, and now I feel weird because now I think maybe you are the band. I'm so confused. Okay, anyways, Tegan says, no, Sarah says to Tegan, I'm so happy to spend our four-year anniversary slash Christmas 2016 slash our May birthday slash our five-year anniversary slash Christmas 2017 with you. Nice.
Yeah, good.
You are so amazing and brave for transitioning into the woman you are. Brothers, you good, good boys make us laugh ourselves silly. Please tell my girlfriend to stop being so sweet and cute and amazing. I can't handle it. That was for either May or December.
Tegan, so cut it out.
Tegan, fucking stop it.
Amazing.
Yeah. What? Yeah. What are you trying to prove? I get it. You're cute.
And amazing.
You're amazing. All Tegan. Right.
Yes, you're very brave and awesome and radical.
But Sarah's sick of it.
Sarah's sick of your shit. Your adorable shit.
Be normal like us.
We're not cute at all.
Lower yourselves to our bar. I have a message for my hobbit boyfriend Dave, and it's from your goblin boyfriend Alex. Oops, this isn't the Adventure Zone. Anyway, happy 12-year anniversary. Whoa, congratulations, Dave and Alex. If teenage us knew we'd stay together and still be enjoying D&D, sports, anime, and Pokemon, well, I think they'd be kind of horrified, actually. But adult me couldn't be happier to be living my life with you, you wonderful weirdo and sweet cinnamon roll. I love you. Oh, that's adorable. Man, two adorable messages.
Very nice.
I feel very fortunate. So, happy anniversary to Dave
and Alex. I mean, I know. It takes two to tango. I wish we'd known.
That's awesome, y'all.
I wish we'd known things were going to get so fucking charming here in the Mind Zone, and then maybe we wouldn't have spent 20 minutes talking about Dom jeans. Like, I think it detracted, like, this could have been our 500 Days of Summer episode, but instead it's sort of a weird, like, grindhouse style, like, it starts out, like, really raunchy and raw, and a lot of talking about blue jean friction against a wiener, and then it does get, like, really, really, really cute. Who knows what the third act will contain? Let's find out.
I'm Hal Loveland.
I'm Danielle Radford.
I am Michael Eagle.
And we are the hosts of Tights and Fights, Maximum Fun's newest podcast dedicated to all things wrestling.
We'll be talking about Sasha Banks, the Women's Revolution, Sasha Banks, the brand split, and Sasha Banks' wigs.
And we'll also be talking about wrestler fashion. Some wrestlers wear too many clothes. Some wrestlers don't wear enough clothes at all.
And I'll be doing impressions of all your favorite wrestlers.
New episodes Thursdays on Maximum Fun or wherever you get your podcasts. Oh, yeah, dig it.
Tights and Fights Podcast. Tights and Fights.
Here is a question. I'm a regular at a local thought.
What?
Okay. Okay.
How did you do this bad?
This is a new low. I'm so sorry.
Oh, we've done it.
Say it good.
Say it.
Say it good.
Prove that you can to me and yourself.
Okay, here we go. I'm a regular at a local Thai restaurant.
Okay, now that we know, now that the prestige has been revealed, we need to, you got to understand, Justin knows about Thai, but he also reads one letter at a time sometimes. He just like runs through a sentence a letter at a time and just kind of explores the words at the same time as you hear them. It's really a fun way to do it.
Whenever you all are ready for the throne, if you want to come at the king, like, come take it. Come take this throne from me.
It's not it's not a throne. It's a job. And we all have different jobs.
Justin, it's pronounced throne.
Easy. Okay. Assholes. I'm a regular at a local restaurant.
What's the sort of genre of restaurant?
Thai. It's a type of Asian cuisine. Thai. Whenever I overhear another patron ask the wait staff for recommendations, I fight the urge to rush over to their table. You know what I'm going to do? Actually, right now, I think that this is a big moment for our show and for me as a human being. I have to increase the text size. I think that that's the problem.
Oh, Jesus, God.
The text isn't big enough.
What were you at before? Like 12? And now you're bumping up to 14?
Just like regular. And then I'm
do you need to get some readers?
Maybe I need some readers.
Oh, you know what? This is nice. I did it too. This is nice.
It's nice, right? It's a lot easier to read. I should have been doing this a long time ago. So I'm a regular at a local Thai restaurant. Whenever I overhear another patron ask the wait staff for recommendations, I fight the urge to rush over to their table and provide them with my favorites. Should I continue to resist this urge, or should I tell them what's good? That's from The Red Curry is Delicious in Cleveland, Ohio.
Yeah, you should keep fighting this one.
Yeah.
I think on this one, that's a battle worth fighting.
Yeah, so this is a hill you gotta die on, I think, maybe even a little bit. To continue to not do this thing is the most you can. I can maybe count the number of times where I have wanted this service on like one finger, and it was when I was in like another country where I didn't speak the language even a little bit. Well, could I have used like a little bit of help from a stranger friend? Otherwise, like I think I'm good here, I think.
Especially since, and I don't mean to point out the obvious here, they are talking to an employee of that restaurant when they ask the question.
Right.
And it's their job to answer that question. So I think it might be covered. So I think that resisting that impulse is good. Now, that said, what you should do is when the waitstaff makes a recommendation, just chuckle to yourself and shake your head. No, like,
All right.
That's totally cool. There's nothing wrong with that.
And then it's important you follow that up with when you get your red curry, you eat it, and you're just like, oh, balls. I'm loving it. Yummy, yum, 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 red curry.
I'll have what I'm having.
I feel when I have sex sometimes at the end of it, you know what it's called. I don't.
At the end of the meal, save one spoonful of your red curry. As you're walking out the door, slip the spoon into the person's mouth and whisper in their ear, you fucked up.
While they're talking. So it's just like, so Jeremy walks out of the break room and
I fucked
this
up.
That was amazing. What have I done? Got these stupid noodles. Fuck.
And they just hand him a piece of paper with a black spot on it. And they'll know.
They'll know. It's with a bloody handprint. They know. But it's not blood. Cursed. It's red curry. I should have got what he said. He said he came when he ate this.
It made him feel like sex time. That's what he said.
That's what he said. How were your pad thai? It was pretty good. I definitely didn't come like that dude, which is like, shoot. I mean, don't get me wrong. I got to go. But it's lunch. I got to go back to work. I can't go back to work with creamy dom jeans. But shoot. It sounds like it was a revelation. Damn it.
Damn.
Wish she'd said something before.
Is there any, let me ask you boys this. Is there, you've made your feelings clear about receiving the service in a restaurant. I think the problem, stop me if I'm out of line, but I think the problem with doing this in a restaurant is that, and it's odd if you think about it, but when we have tables at a place, we all feel like that's our sort of, island. That's yes. Like the other tables aren't there, and we're all pretending that there aren't tables. But like, this is our territory. Like, we've staked this out. You don't do that at Best Buy. If someone crosses your path when you're looking at TVs to also look at TVs, you don't get like weirdly territorial about it. It's just at the restaurant you feel like you're renting that space for that moment, which is why I don't approve of community tables. By the way, thank you. Thank you very much. No thanks. But here's my question. Is there a business in which you would appreciate this service? Is there a business in which you would want someone to just kind of swoop in and drop some recos on your lap?
J-Man, to that point, no joke, if it was a counter service thing, because Teresa and I, when we went to Scotland, once again, different country, not quite the same. We do speak the language, but standing at the counter, first day there, wasn't sure like what to do, what social customs were different. Very nice, slightly older than us couple kind of saw our hesitation, was like, is this your first time here? And we're like, yeah. And they're like, all right, here's what you need to do. And they walked us through like where to go to order and like what drinks we should try. And that was very helpful. So counter service, Don't ever walk up to somebody's table. I think you were right. But if you see someone standing on a counter going, I just don't know what to get, I think then you can make the reckon. Keep walking.
Yeah. It only happened to me once. It was also an older couple when we were in Tokyo. We were in this like huge food mall that was like underground. I'm making it sound like it was a cave. It was just like in the basement of like a shopping mall or whatever. And there were like a billion food options. And this older couple was like, you want this? And we were like, all right. And we did want this very much. And they talked about how much it made them come over and 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 over again.
I went to this new Brazilian steakhouse that they got in Charleston. And I've never been to a restaurant like that before. And there were definitely some like, it was terrifying because the person gave me a list of meat. And then left and didn't come back to tell me ask what meat I wanted.
Irresponsible.
And I waited and waited and waited and it just sort of like looked sadly as people were getting meat and we weren't. And it turned out there was this like device. Mm-hmm. There was a device on the table that indicated whether or not we were ready for meat. That information was not relayed to me, by the way, which seems to me the biggest faux pas you could make in this venue. Because, like, that's how I get it. Why didn't you tell me that?
Every time I go somewhere new, I am terrified that I will misunderstand a fundamental process that exists in that place. Like, I'll sit down at a table and it's like, no, no, you order from the bar. Or I'll go to the bar and they're like, we have servers. Just go sit down at a table. So I would say in that circumstance, having, like, if you see somebody, like, milling around and doing that thing that we humans do when we're really feeling dumb of that, like, kind of body posture, I think in that circumstance, if you want to be like, oh, yeah, you just sit down, they come right to the table, and you just flip it over so that it's green on top, and then they know you want meat. I think that's totally cool. And, in fact, when people do that for me, I feel like they're angels sent from God. And that's Roma Downey, just like, Travis, you feel very stupid in this moment. I'm like, I do, Roma Downey. Thank you very much. And she's like, oh, you just put your money. You pay it right up there at the front. I'm like, oh, Roma Downey, thank you so much.
Good Roma.
Hey, thanks.
It's a good Roma.
Killer Roma.
Well, what I do when Roma. I do accents, I just mumble a lot.
This Yahoo was sent in by Zoe Kinski, riding high. Thank you, climbing that ladder. And riding high on it. Thank you, Zoe Kinski. It's Yahoo Answers user. Victoria Sparta, who asks, need help ASAP. My rear end is glued to my office chair due to a super glue prank. Yes. Yes.
Not.
Yes. Justin, how could you? Didn't. Yes.
It didn't happen.
Give me this and let me read to you and you're going to feel like a real jag.
Didn't happen.
A real judge advocate general for your doubting because of the extra details I think are going to satisfy you. Yes, my butt right now glued to the office chair. My fiance and I have a prank war going on right now. He got me good, I admit it, but I will get him back. So, with the exception of nail polish remover, don't have any. What could unstick my skin from this chair? He coated the whole dang seat. Plus help. Wait. I'm honestly stuck to this chair right now. 1100 exclamation points.
Griffin, wait. Skin?
Travis, that is located in update 6, the 6 codex, so I'll get there. Please help. I'm honestly stuck to this chair right now, Justin, you fucking doubting Thomas. I know this is the wrong section. This is in social science gender studies. But I know this section is active right now, thus why I put it here, because this is kind of a real-time issue. Update. I wish I was kidding. He put super glue on my chair. Update 2. We have a prank war going on. Thus, this is the current result. Update 3. All right. I know y'all are used to weird questions from some people who are just bored and messing around, but sadly, this is not one of those questions, Justin, you piece of shit. This is no trolling or anything, Justin, asshole. It's my rear end is stuck to the chair. Update 4. When I say office chair, I meant my home office chair. It's only me and him at the house. He's laughing his head off and refusing to help me. Update 5. Let's just say I'm wearing a skirt. Hints answering, I think, why the skin is on the chair. Update 6. Oh, I found my pocket knife on the desk. I hate to ruin a chair, but it looks like I have to cut the chair fabric in order to be able to get up and soak in the tub till the rest comes off. Man, this sucks. Balls. My skin stuck to the chair. My fiance got me great.
Now, but I...
Travis, if what you have to say is not going to help this person out of this fucking horrible situation, I literally don't want to hear it. No, I actually don't want to hear it.
I guess I just have two questions, Griffin, to help me understand so that I can CSI the issue to figure out the solution. And that is question number one. I understand that this person says they're wearing a skirt. How much super glue was put onto this seat?
Soaked all the way through.
Second question, I guess this is the most important question that I have. How quickly between application of super glue to seat and you sitting down, did your fiance apply that super glue? Was it like they saw you going to sit down and were like,
Well, that's true because it gets tacky real quick.
Yeah.
I mean, this whole thing's pretty tacky. This is a prank war they're embroiled in. They obviously know how to do this type of stuff. And Travis, that was a minute and a half where you could have said something to help this person out of time loss is butt loss. Like, this person's going to lose a lot of butt matter at this point.
Griffin, I don't think they are.
I don't think this happened. I'm sorry. Oh, I'm
Griffin.
Listen,
I'm so sorry, but
there's six fucking updates. This couple loves each other so much, and they definitely have a YouTube channel where they just sort of get each other. Like, they fucking get each other all the time. And this is the latest one, and I don't understand why you won't help this person out, because it can be fun and flirty. This is my 50 Shades.
Your 50 Shades is pranks. 50 Shades of pranks.
I got you.
I got you this time.
I put a bucket of water up on the door sill, and you open it up, and you got splashed. Oh, yes. You put the fucking sugar on your grapefruit to eat it for breakfast, but it was all salt.
There's no milk. Wait, there is. Ah!
Oh, fucking yes!
Yes!
Thank you so much for listening to our show.
I want to play more in this space, though.
Closing the door to the playroom, unfortunately.
I'm going to stay in the playroom. We're going to be in two different rooms for the end of this.
I'm going to fucking trap you in there with jokes.
Hold on.
I'm going to go. I'm going to leave the area.
Hold on, I'm in the fucking playroom now.
This has been a thematically consistent episode, which I always really enjoy.
I love
And thank you for listening to our program, to the second straight episode where Griffin is absent for the ending of it, which is unusual. But thank you for listening. Thank you to John Roderick and the Lawn Winners for the use of their theme song. It's a departure off the album Putting the Days to Bed. Trav, were you going
to
say something?
I was going to say thank you to our friends at Cirque du Soleil for acting as the go-betweens, the mediators between Griffin and Criss Angel so that Griffin could get his bean back.
I told a lot of really great jokes in the playroom when you guys weren't there. It's a shame. I should have brought my mic.
Jokes got to hear them. That's the important thing. If y'all can think of a collaboration we could do with Cirque, because I think they would love to work with us and we'd love to work with them.
Are you talking about the Criss Angel tweet? I do want to say on the subject of that, I've had a lot of people, when they saw that Cirque du Soleil really signal boosted sort of my whole drama. And I did just want to say every night when I go to sleep, I just see one big eye. And there's not really a traditional pupil in there. It's just sort of like a big like black hole. And I guess that is, I guess it is Chris. And he's in there or whatever.
Yeah. We're going to... Hey, we're going to do, you want to come see My Brother and Me? Or The Adventure Zone? Either one? Because we're going to be in San Diego during San Diego Comic-Con doing a live show for both of those podcasts, both of those programs. My Brother and Me and The Adventure Zone. I have the details. Hold on.
Also, I just want to say, if you're coming to Austin... hit us up with those Mabim Bam questions, please.
And Yahoo always needs lots of Yahoos
for the live shows. So thank you to all my troopers out there, my street team.
So the show is going to be where? When?
At the Balboa.
Where the details? The Balboa. All right, I'll use that as a search term, and I'll search Balboa and submissive.
Well,
and see what I turn up. Balboa on Friday and Saturday night at 10 p.m. So Friday will be...
Oh, my God. I believe the first one is Adventure Zone. I think we said
Taz always first because it makes me very scared to do that one.
Yeah, so Taz on Friday, Mabim Bam on Saturday, 10 p.m. at the Balboa. Trav, are you going to make... Can you make links for tickets?
Sure will.
Call the shot. Call the shot now.
We'll say Taz SDCC and MBMBAM. So bit.ly/TazSDCC and bit.ly/MBMBAMSDCC, all lowercase.
Now those tickets will go on sale. If you know we're not joking when we say this. Our tickets for our shows tend to sell out really quickly, and we want everybody to be able to come. On sales for both shows will start at noon Pacific on Wednesday, May 17th. That's 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Or is it EDT yet?
No one quite knows. No one can keep no those one straight. Knows.
But either way, it's noon Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern, Wednesday, May 17th. And those links, again, Travis, are...
bit.ly/TAZSDCC and bit.ly/MBMBAMSDCC.
Okay.
It's going to be fun as fuck. Spider-Man's going to be there.
We invited him. We hope to get him out there.
We're going to have the trailer for Star Wars Episode 4. We're going to have that out. You'll be able to check that.
If you know a famous person that's going to be there, ask if they'll come to our show, please.
What if we got that super old man that they let in all the comic movies for some reason who does the one line, and he showed up and he said like something, like he could walk on and he could be like a PA and like we wouldn't even make a big deal out of it.
That'd be amazing.
What's his deal? Really, like what? It always like
I think
makes
he's somebody's
laugh.
Dad. I think he's Joss I'm Whedon's like, dad or something.
There he is again. This time he's a janitor. You never know where you're going to see. It's hard for me to enjoy those movies anymore because, like, I just don't pay attention to the plot because I'm fucking just scouring the background looking for that, like, old guy.
You know, Griffin, I actually read that they don't, like, cast him or schedule that or anything. He just keeps showing up. And then when they go back for the edits, it's like, fuck, there he is again.
Did it again.
They can't
That's
get him
sweet,
out.
Though. That's sweet, though, that they let him, like, be a part of it.
Well,
the
he
movies.
Needs it.
Anyway, come to those shows. Please get tickets when they go on sale so you don't miss out. We would love to see everybody there. I know there's a lot of things competing for your time there, but hopefully, like, I don't know, 10 p.m. So it's probably not open anymore. You can't go see Spider-Man, so might as well come see him at our show.
Our show's at 10 p.m.
Yeah.
The magic hour. Shit during SDCC, Griffin, goes till like fucking 4 or 5 in the morning. Some people just don't sleep.
That's midnight for me, my time zone, and how I do things. It will be a very sleepy set,
I feel like. It's going to be a party set.
No, it's not. It's going to be weird. Just get weirder. So come out and see those shows. And Griffin, do you have a final Yahoo for us?
Yeah, sure do. I got one from Game Recognized Game, Rachel Rosen. Thank you, Rachel. It's Yahoo Answers user Joseph Sherman who asks, why do my eyes change from emerald green to a steel dark blue before and during a storm? I've looked, but no solution.
My name is Justin McElroy.
I'm Travis McElroy.
I'm Griffin McElroy.
This has been My Brother and Me. Kiss your dad square on the lips.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture. Artist owned.
Listener supported.
From the dawn of time, one podcast has unlocked the secrets of science and technology to enrich the lives of billions. And now, after a year where they've unlocked the golden age of knowledge, they're about to hit warp speed and go stratospheric.
Wait, hold up.
On Oh No, Ross and Carrie, we don't make extraordinary claims, we investigate them.
We go undercover with fringe religious groups, investigate paranormal claims, and we participate in pseudoscientific medical treatments and then report our findings to you.
And yes, we've even investigated
Scientology.
Shh, Ross, shh. New episodes every month at MaximumFun.org.
Oh No, Ross and Carrie. They show up so you don't have to.
Hey, my Bim Bambinos, Travis here, your Middleist brother. I'm so excited to announce the first inaugural PodCon. PodCon is a project that's been in the works for a while now, and it's my brother and me, Welcome to Night Vale, and Dear Hank and John, a.k.a. the Vlog Brothers, a.k.a. Hank and John Green. We're so excited to be doing a convention to celebrate podcasting, both the podcasts we love and the making of those. It's going to be December 9th and 10th in Seattle, but we're announcing it now because we need your help. Putting on this convention, unfortunately, is not going to be free, and we want it to be great, so we need your help with that. So we're starting our crowdfunding campaign today. You can go to podcon.com to contribute to the Indiegogo campaign today. And not only will you help support a new project that I think is just going to be a whole heck of a lot of fun, you're also going to get rewards. You can get admission to the convention, special live stream hangouts. You can get someone from Night Vale or my brother and me or Hank and John to do a voicemail for you, thumb drives loaded with some of our favorite episodes and exclusive content, VIP events at the convention, and even if you can't make it to the convention, you'll be able to access the audio, you'll be able to attend remotely and still get a lot of other rewards. So if you would like to help support this new project, and we sure hope that you do, just go to podcon.com, pick the level that's right for you, and let's get this thing rolling. Thanks so much, and we'll see you in Seattle December 9th and 10th.